Hello, everyone. My name is Karen, and I am a compulsive overeater. I just want to start with the third step prayer that really helps me get focused. So join me if you like. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. So since this is a big book meeting, I'm going to begin and end with a couple of my favorite readings from the big book. And this is from page 25. There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confessions of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. God has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. My first response when I'm asked to speak is, I don't have anything to say. But we say yes, and so you say yes, and then you figure it out. And my AA sponsor said, turn it over and carry the message. So I think first I think it's important to qualify. My abstinent date is September 14th of 2021. I have lost around 40 pounds. I have been abstinent since the day I came in the program. And I know that's a gift, and I know that's rare. And it's a gift I've been given that I want to nurture and polish every day. And I don't take it lightly. What it was like. So I grew up in the Midwest where we like to eat. Well, people like to eat everywhere, you know. And as far as recovering in the Big Easy, I'm also in AA. And one thing they say in AA is, and by the way, if you're new and you came in through another 12-step program, guess what? We get a lot of business that way because you put something down and then, you know, I was still acting out on the food. I had worked the steps. I had sponsees in AA, but I was still acting out on the food. So you're in good company. We get a lot of business that way. People here in AA say any place where there's a lot of drinking, and we could say that about OA, where there's a lot of good food, the recovery is really strong. I grew up in the Midwest in the 50s. I just turned 71. And I was real different from my mom physically. She was thin. She had straight blonde hair. Now it's gray, but it was like really dark, real wild and curly hair. And she had small breasts and a flat stomach. So she looked nothing like me. And I looked nothing like her. And she was always, I never thought of myself as overweight, but I guess like a lot of people, when I went through puberty and, you know, I started gaining weight. I remember distinctly, and if anyone's on here old enough to remember this, I'll see some nods and some smiles. Anybody else ever had their mother take them to the chubby department at Sears and Roebuck? There was actually, yeah, I see those hands. I see there's actually a fucking chubby department. So if you don't think that's humiliating to have your mother in the middle of the store yell, which way to the chubby department? When I look at pictures of myself when I was young, I didn't look overweight, but I wasn't built like my mom. And I think that was part of it. I was always comparing myself to her. I realize now that food was my first love. Before I ever heard, thought I was going to drink or use drugs, food was my first love. And that was the first way that I soothed my emotions and tried to change my reality and try to be someone different than who I was. And so I have a real strong memory of when I was in, I was a freshman in high school, and my mother and I were in a dressing room trying on a bathing suit. And I really didn't look that good in the bathing suit. And I can remember, even now when I'm telling you this, I can see the look on my mom's face of disappointment. And so we went to our family physician. And that was in the mid-60s. And he prescribed diet pills. And I lost so much weight that summer. I can remember, I mean, it was speed, you know, it was methamphetamines, I guess. And I can remember I lost so much weight that summer because I stopped eating. I fainted a couple times. So I remember that. But I looked good. And when I went back to school, I looked good. And everybody said that. And then I got blood clots in my legs. I had bruises like this big all over my legs. No one said, oh, my God. I mean, it must be the diet pills. But I figured that out on my own because I quit taking the diet pills. And the doctor's response to that was to stay off of my feet for a while. It's probably more dangerous than that. That probably wasn't the actual cure for that, but that was what we did. And so in the ensuing years, you know, I gained and lost weight quite a bit. I think my top weight I ever had was like 200 pounds. And I'm only barely, if that, 5'1". So that's pretty rotund. When I came into the program this time, my top weight was 180, which is still pretty heavy if you're not quite 5'1". And, you know, I maintained a steady, normal weight for long periods of time. When I would go through traumas, different traumas I went through, that's what I did. I ate. This is the first time in my life I ever lost weight in a healthy way. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that felt like. I can tell you now I'm getting to be right sized, but up until I came into this program, I couldn't tell when I was full. I never was sure if I was hungry. If I was heavy, I bought clothes that were too small. If I was smaller, I bought clothes that were too big. I never had, my body never matched what I thought of myself. And I didn't put all that together, that, you know, is kind of an abnormal way to relate to our bodies. I've learned that through this program from listening to all of you. I was always talking myself into situations in jobs and relationships. I always presented really well. So I could always get jobs and get relationships that really weren't right for me. And I know one in particular, I was a private chef at an estate in Malibu. And I stayed there for 6.5 years, but I gained a lot of weight. That's when I got to like 200 because I, you know, and I say this, and I think it's really important for people that are new to a 12-step program. I spent years in AA. One time I was sober for 7.5 years, one time 5 years, one time 4.5 years. And I didn't realize it was a 12-step program. I thought it was a go-to-meetings program, and I didn't work the steps. I didn't have recovery. I was abstinent from alcohol and drugs, but I was not in recovery. And there's a big difference in being in recovery, and in our case, being abstinent from the food and being in recovery. Today, I'm in recovery, and I have a different life. I'm a different person. I My God, goodness, I got married. My husband was 75 when we met, and he had never been married. And I had been single for about 35 years. And he's in AA. That's how we met. I was down here visiting. And I can honestly tell you, it's only because of the steps that I was able to be in a relationship. It's because of what the steps do. What the steps did for me, it uncovered me. It allowed me to see myself. It allowed me to see my pitfalls and the things that I didn't understand about my behaviors. It allowed me to see my patterns in my life, in relationships. And, you know, it allowed me to see my patterns. And I think that's really important to point out. So when I came down here, to New Orleans almost 3 years ago, I had lived here before. And when I came down here to be with my husband, everything was going fine. I was going to meetings. And when the pandemic happened, when the lockdown happened, I really started acting out in the food. I gained some weight. I jokingly say, it's not really that funny to tell you the truth, but during the lockdown, I collected exercise equipment on Amazon while gaining weight, simultaneously gaining weight. I have every kind of home exercise equipment you could imagine. And all the great food we have down here, just to respond to what somebody else said, as I said before I got in OA, my husband was my biggest enabler, and now he's my biggest supporter. And before I got into OA, at every restaurant that would open up, oh, they're doing to go. I need to go get that sandwich. Oh, I need to go here and get this. I need to go here and get that. And what happened for me was last year, just a little more than a year ago, I really hit a bottom. I had been in OA in the late 80s was the first time I got sober in AA. And I gained a lot of weight then. And I started going to OA then. But it wasn't me. I mean, it was me. Sometimes I say, well, OA was different then, but I didn't understand what's going on here. This is a spiritual program. I had a spiritual malady, and this is a spiritual disease, and it has a spiritual solution. So that's what's going on here, and that's what I finally figured out. And so I was abstinent. During that time, I went to OA for a couple of years and I lost a lot of weight and I quit eating sugar and things. I looked really good on the outside, but I was still creating wreckage because I wasn't working the steps in either program. And I can remember at one point during that time, I was at my parents' house and I was getting my food ready to eat my dinner before I went to work in a restaurant. And I remember my mother saying to me, who had seen me crazy. She said to me, you have more willpower than anyone I've ever known. And I was really proud of that comment. Today, I know willpower has nothing to do with it. And if she were alive today, I would say, I have zero willpower. This has nothing to do with willpower. I have a higher power today that helps me. And so when I hit a bottom last year, we evacuated, and when we evacuated, we were with my husband's family, and we were staying in hotels, and, you know, it was really horrible, horrible food that I didn't have any control over. And then when we came home, I remember the day, it was September 14th, and that day it rained really hard down here, and we had come back to our house. And that night, I had gone to an AA meeting with my husband, and there were cookies there. And I ate one cookie, and then I didn't have any control. I ate another one. And I remember feeling terrible and coming home that night. And after all that awful food I ate on the road, just feeling terrible. And I woke up the next day and I got on Zoom because I actually really like Zoom. I went to a lot of Zoom meetings during the lockdown in AA. And so I just Googled, and I went to so many meetings that day, and I got abstinent that day. It was a gift. I found a sponsor. I knew, even though the credits don't transfer, I knew what worked in a 12-step program. And I wanted a sponsor. I wanted to work the steps. And so that's what I've done. I got a sponsor that first day, and she was my sponsor up until like the end of June this year. And I went through the first five steps with her. And then with her, she's in a family situation and she became unavailable. And I knew that I needed help. I still needed help. I still needed a sponsor. And the sporadic conversations we were having wasn't satisfying to me. And so the first thing I did, because I committed my food to her every day, the first thing I did was find another fellow in the program that I trusted and I had already had a relationship with. And I asked her if I could commit my food to her. So that's the first thing that happened. I am determined to recover. And I know what that means and what that feels like here in this program. And so I committed my food to her. And then I was on another meeting. And also my first sponsor, after we did the fifth step, she just, we're going to read, you know, the little bit that's in the big book about the sixth and seventh step. And I felt like I needed more than that. And so the new sponsor that I found, she had me get the OA 12 and 12 workbook. And boy, is that a wonderful way to go through the steps. I'm a big fan of that. And you know, that my first sponsor was who I needed then. And the sponsor I have now, I wouldn't have changed if I didn't have to, but the sponsor I have now is perfect for me now. So I feel really taken care of by my higher power. I still go to a lot of meetings. I'm determined to work the steps. I'm on step 7 right now. And I'm really, really grateful for this program beyond words. I have connections with even people on this meeting. I'm really grateful to see here today that live in other countries. And there's a bond between us. There's a love, there's a connection. And, you know, and I have to say our disease, this disease is the least understood of any 12-step recovery programs, because the other ones, we can just put things down. But in this program, we still have to eat. And it's given me a reliance and an understanding of my higher power that I didn't have by just going to AA. I didn't
get a reminder.
Thank you, Michelle. I didn't get it, you know. And I'm a better wife. I'm a better sponsor. I'm a better member of AA. You know, I know where to go when I need help. I know to speak up and ask. And so I'm so grateful to have this opportunity, because I can think, oh, what do I have to say? But you know what? I've stayed abstinent for over a year. And when things are crazy, I know what gives me sanity is I stick to my food plan. I've committed my food to my sponsor. And if things are going crazy in my life, I know that I can stick to that food plan, and that gives me my sanity. I'm just going to close with one of my favorite readings in the big book. And it's the very last story in the fourth edition. It's called To Handle Sobriety. God willing, we members of OA may never again have to deal with eat food, but we have to deal with sobriety every day. How do we do it? By learning through practicing the 12 steps and through sharing at meetings, how to cope with the problems that we look to food to solve back in our eating days. For example, we are told in OA that we cannot afford resentments and self-pity, so we learn to avoid these festering mental attitudes. Similarly, we rid ourselves of guilt and remorse as we clean out the garbage from our minds through the fourth and fifth steps of our recovery program. We learn how to level out the emotional swings that got us into trouble both when we were up and when we were down. We are taught to differentiate between our wants, which are never satisfied, and our needs, which are always provided for. We cast off the burdens of the past and the anxieties of the future as we begin to live in the present one day at a time. We are granted the serenity to accept the things we cannot change and thus lose our quickness to anger and our sensitivity to criticism. Above all, we reject fantasizing and accept reality. The more I have to say it this way, y'all, the more I drank, the more I fantasized everything. I imagined getting even for hurts and rejections. In my mind's eye, I played and replayed scenes in which I was plucked magically from the bar where I stood nursing a drink and was instantly exalted to some position of power and prestige. I lived in a dream world. AA led me gently from this fantasizing to embrace reality with open arms, and I found it beautiful.
Time.
For at last, I was at peace with myself and with others and with God. Thank you.